I know this is a hard day that you're living in because it's a day of darkness, gross darkness covering the people. And I realize it's a hard day, but at the same time, it is a great day for those that believe. If we can believe, it is a great hour. And we ought to really be thankful to God. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 48. It says, "Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, Mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, that thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, Behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wast called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear, which among them which them hath declared these things. The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him. And he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth to Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." That's reading the entire chapter. Here we find him speaking of the hidden things. He tells us here that he hath declared from the beginning the hidden things. And we find that when Jesus comes along, Jesus speaks, saying that I have revealed to you or made known unto you things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. Many things that wise men have longed to see, great prophets have longed to see and understand, but they did not see, neither did they understand. But now, Paul tells us that there is made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that which is in heavenly places. Now, I cannot understand how that we as a people can know that we have the opportunity to receive the manifold wisdom of the living God that is made known to us even under the heavenly places. I can't understand how we, the church, can know that and not make any special effort to be partakers of that divine benefit. I cannot understand that. A person that knows God, that knows what the manifold wisdom of God means, in that the man that receives it hath the power to create worlds. The man that receives it hath the power to raise the dead. The man that receives it has the knowledge to speak stars into existence. Therefore, I cannot understand how that anybody, knowing all of this, would reject it. I can't understand that. Knowing that we have this great privilege, how can we sidestep this wonderful thing? So then, it is a wonderful thought tonight to know that God hath made known unto us the hidden things, and it stirs me in my heart to seek out the knowledge of God and to find the great understanding of God and to be able to be filled with the great wisdom of God, knowing that this heavenly treasure we have in our earthen vessels. So then God is upbraiding Israel, telling Israel what they have missed out on and how that it's all been hid from them, though they were ever so confident that it belonged to them. And Paul tells us that it did belong to them. All the blessings of the fathers belong to Israel. But they rejected it because they could not see good when it come. The Bible said that the wicked shall not see good when it cometh. They'll not know when Christ is doing something. Having eyes to see natural things, yet having eyes they see not. Having ears to hear worldly things, yet having ears they hear not. Because they do not have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. So then, I'm so grateful tonight that I have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I'm glad that one day God gave me the Spirit of Revelation and took me into the heavenly places that I might, by God's grace, have the spiritual understanding of heavenly things. I'm glad that I understand what Paul means when Paul tells us that he would like for us to be spiritual. I'm glad that there is such a thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was just telling Mitch the other day that more and more we are receiving literature from different preachers. These preachers are beginning to say that we are preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whereas before, in years past, they never said that. But we made the statement that every preacher that was a man of God would come to it. And I have received literature from outstanding evangelists, men that are great men of this day. And I find that sooner or later in their literature, they resort to it. And they say, we are preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. The reason for that is because there is a new move in the earth. There's a new thing in the earth. God is doing a new thing, and He's bringing about a new move, and everybody must go with that move, or else they're not in the things of God. One thing that really stands out in my heart, and that is knowing that God is no respecter person, that He will require one what He requires of another. What I say unto one of you, He said, I say it unto all of you. Knowing this, I know that God has but one move in the earth. God has never had but one move. From the time that He created Adam, it has been the offsprings of Adam. And then through the offsprings of Adam came the offsprings of Christ. And through the offsprings of Christ came the church. And right on down through the Catholics, through the Methodists, through the Baptists, through the Pentecostal. He's never had but one move. One time it was Catholic. The next time it was Methodist. The next time it was Baptist. The next time it was Pentecostal. Today it is the church. God has been bringing the church down through one great channel all the way, sifting all the time until he could come out with the elect. Because it's been God's desire to bring the elect into the wonderful things that he hath prepared for them from the foundation of the world. So then, it's like I was explaining to a brother today, God has a specific order. He has a specific move. Everybody must belong to that order. Not one person, but every person. I cannot understand how that we as ministers or we as people get the idea that we can have a work over here, I can have a work over here, you can have a work over there, and we can do what we want to, the way we want to, go the way we want to, and still be with God. That's absolutely wrong. You cannot do it. God has one church. God has one body. God has one move. God has many overseers in that body. Those overseers are also subject one to another according to the measure that God hath placed in each overseer. Not that we are overseers over God's heritage as Lord over God's heritage. Not that we are over God's heritage in the sense of filthy lucre or constraint, but rather as an example unto the flock, taking the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made us overseers. Amen. The church with God hath purchased with his own blood, which means that I will follow you because I hunger for what you've got. I see your measure greater than my measure. Therefore, I feed from you. That's the only way I can stay alive. If then there be another man greater than you are, then that man will feed from the greater man, because that's the only way that he can stay alive. That is to say that we feed one from another. Whereas the Bible tells us to submit ourselves one to another, looking on the things of another, esteeming others better than ourselves. So doing, we submit ourselves unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become members in particular, and God the Great Spirit receives us and is glorified as the all in all as we step up from rank to rank, just as God's army should be. In this, I know that we're all sons of God. It's like the man that came by from Connecticut. A very fine man, a very intelligent man, a very well advanced man. But I perceive that today, that there were some thoughts in his mind, and he hoped to be able to correct me. But to his utter amazement, I could tell by his spirit, but he found out there might be some things that he didn't understand after we talked a few minutes. Now, you know, we can be so sure that we know and yet we don't know. So sure that we know because we are confident in what we believe rather than what God has said. I can be confident in what I believe and I can be as strong and as bold as a lion. But that doesn't mean that I'm right. It only means I am confident. Now, but I can be confident in God's word, and that does mean that I am right. Is that right? So then tonight, God will not give his glory to another, but we are not another. The Baptist is another. The Methodist is another. The Pentecostals is another. The non-denominationals are another. But the elect is the body of Christ Jesus, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and the glory of God belongs to them. So then the Bible said, glorify these, Father, with the glory that you gave unto me before the world ever was. He gives unto his own glory. Now, I remember when Peter, James, and John saw the great vision. Yet not a vision, the actuality of the thing that took place. The Bible says that Elijah and Moses appeared in glory with Christ. Isn't that right? Now, not many days hence ye shall see my glory. When they awoke, they saw his glory. Therefore, I will not give my glory to another, but yet they appeared in his glory. Why was that? Because they were not another. They were not another. So then they shared his glory. It is so wonderful tonight to understand. I esteem you better than myself. You esteem me better than yourselves. That way we esteem God in that we do it unto the least of these. We do it as unto Christ. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. So then I realize that God cannot come to us except through human beings. We've got to remember that God works through his body. God never comes to anybody except through the body of Jesus Christ. You cannot get to God, the great light, except through Christ Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus as a human body walked here in this present world, no man could get to the Father except through Jesus. When Jesus went away, we become the body of Jesus. Therefore, the Bible tells us that we must pray as intercessors between God and man. Pray that man will be reconciled to God, because they cannot get to God except through us. Pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. Pray that God will grant repentance unto them. We must pray that God will grant repentance unto them. Well, the Bible teaches that we are in Christ's stead. While Christ is gone, it means we are here. We are in Christ's stead, beseeching the world to be reconciled to God, and that through the church, which is the body of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we see this greatness of the plan of God, of what God hath wrought in the earth. Therefore, there are overseers. Now, like the man today, people have a great desire to come to little Bethlehem to be able to put Brother Pike down. Why they strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, I'll never know. Why they pursue a flea, as David said, I'll never know. But they know that people praise us, whereas they think that is so absurd for people to praise us. Why do you praise Brother Pike, somebody would say. Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. I hope I do a good thing once in a while. I try. Therefore, there is nothing wrong in praising somebody if they do a good thing, but there's something wrong if you don't praise the person that does a good thing. When you don't praise the person that does a good thing, then you fail to give glory to God. Somebody will say, well, I give all my glory to God. Where is God? You know better than that. That's just like somebody say, I give all my money to God. Where is God? I give all my food to God. Everything I've got, somebody says, belongs to God. Yet they live in their house. They drive their own car. They eat their own food. They wear their own clothes. They keep their own money in the bank. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But everything I've got belongs to God. Don't you know you're lying? None of it belongs to God. Everything you give to God belongs to God. That's all, it belongs to God. Everything you keep belongs to you. And all you do is let the devil use that to soothe your conscience so that you can go on keeping what belongs to God. But there's one thing about it. If you are a steward over something that you've got, you've dedicated it to God, you're using it for the glory of God, really, genuinely using it for the needy, for the poor, for the church, for the cause of Christ, then it really does belong to God and you are a steward over it. Otherwise, it belongs to you. Now, so then, what I'm saying is, God expects us to glorify Him by praising one another, by loving one another, by doing something for one another. Paul said they glorified God in me. How did they glorify God in Paul? They saw the wonderful works that Paul did. They saw the wonderful works that Jesus did. Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I have glorified my name. I will glorify my name. How could he glorify his name? Jesus was the name of God. I come in my Father's name. How could God glorify his name? By doing great things through Jesus. And when people praise Jesus, they were glorifying the name of God. God was glorifying his name. How then can God today make himself a name in the earth? He said, I've not chosen you because you are a great people. I've not chosen you because you are a righteous people. I've not chosen you because you're more than anybody else. You're the fewest in number. You certainly are rebellious people, he said. There is no righteousness among you except what I have given you. All of your righteousness is as filthy rags. Therefore, what have I chosen you for? To make myself a name, he said. Somebody say, I love Jesus. When I was buried in baptism, I took on the name of Jesus that I might glorify his lovely name. That's the purpose of it, brothers, sisters, is to make him a name in the earth. Therefore, we miss so many things because we war against the very thing that God is trying to use to feed us with. This brother today, he was trying to get a point over. I hadn't said anything to him. I hadn't done anything to him. But he had come to visit with me. And I perceived he was a great man and a great man of understanding. And he was trying to get over to me, you know, something. So he come out and he said, he was telling me how that he was telling his wife the other day that he realized that he wasn't the only son of God in the earth. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. Of course, I knew he was talking to me. But I didn't think I was the only son of God either. You know, the Bible said, according to whatever judgment you judge another with, that's what you'll be judged with. And a lot of times we sum up something in our mind, and our mind goes around like a computer, so we judge everybody according to what went around in our mind, and we sum the thing up, and we accuse and find fault and whatever, instead of getting discernment or revelation from God. Isn't that right? So he told me, and I said, well, you know that's so. He said, and I told her, now wouldn't it be embarrassing if I thought I was the only son of God, and then all of a sudden I met another one. I said, yeah, that would be embarrassing. And he thought he got his point over. Now, he was ready to talk because he knew that he had put me down, set me down, put me in my place, and made me to know that he was just as great as I was. We was on the same level and wasn't nothing to worry about. So when he got through, I thought, well, now you through? I said, I got to make my video. So I didn't say nothing that bothered him. So I come in here to make my video. He followed me in here. He said, well, you're going to have an audience today, at least one. So he sat down. Well, the lights were held up. We didn't have the lights here. That Brother Zale had not gotten in with the lights, and somehow they'd left them out yonder. So it gave me a chance to tarry a few minutes. So he came up, and I talked with him, and he said, you never did finish what you was going to tell me. I said, no, I didn't. I said, somebody came in. So he wanted me to finish it. So I thought I'd say something, and Brother Bill and him came in. So I never did get to finish what I started to say. So after a while, he was determined that he was going to get me to say something one way or another. I said, all right. I said, you know, it's about the subject of the sons of God. And I went into a little parable and a little message right quick and hurriedly like concerning the family tree. And when I got through, he was so shook up till he was so tore up till he started to say something. He said, well, no need for me to say it. I said, you already know it anyway. You know what I'm trying to say. And I told him, I said, brother, listen. I know that we're all sons of God. I know that. We're all sons of God if we've been born of God. But you don't just go around putting somebody on your level. You know, you get in the army And you can really get in trouble. Did you know that? You go in and you say, "Bless Pat, I'm a soldier." And here comes the general and you pass him by and you snub him and say, "I want you to know I'm a soldier just like you're a soldier." And it won't be long before y'all will have a little confrontation. And you'll learn the difference between a soldier and a general. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Now, there is a difference when it comes to authority, children of God. It's just like Israel. All of them was Israel that was of Israel. But some of them was prophets in Israel. And some of them was overseers in Israel. And when Miriam and when Aaron took the outlook that we're just as good as Moses, God said, "I want to have a talk with you." And they wound up with leprosy, and that's why the people of today wind up in trouble. God said, "Wasn't you afraid to speak against my man Moses? There is none that is like him in all the land. He is faithful in all of his house." Yet she was a prophetess. Yet Aaron was the high priest. Come on now. I said they were great in the sight of God, but they raised themselves up in the wrong place. Here Moses was being humble. He wasn't trying to war. So out of the camp Miriam went and wondered. Now listen, children of God. It's like I told the brother today. We're all sons of God. That's true. We're all in the army of God. But the Bible teaches that God hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith according as he has seen fit. There's one thing, as I said to the man today, there's one thing that we differ in, and that is our measure. Your measure may be one thing, my measure may be another, and another man's measure may be another. One measure may be greater than another, and another measure greater than the other measure, and another measure greater than that measure. And in so doing, God has fixed it to where each measure must feed from the man with the greater measure that he may stay alive and grow up into the full measure of the full stature of Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why then do we want to war against the very thing that could help us? If you get in the army and you get to be a corporal and you start slinging your weight around and snubbing a little bit, being a snob toward the authorities, brother, there's one thing for sure, you're never going to be a captain. Them fellas will put their finger on you and you'll always be a corporal unless they get it in for you, and then they'll put you down to a rookie. Even the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. They know better than to do a thing like that. See, how can I oppose the very thing that I need to nourish from? I am nourishing as a babe from the breast of El Shaddai, the breasted one. How then can you accuse me, or I accuse you, of not glorifying God in our ministry, in our efforts, and in the things we're doing? How then can I feel that you're robbing God of His glory, and I must tell the people that you have robbed God of His glory? How then can I tell the people that I know that you're great, but there's somebody far greater than you are, coming with the attitude or the feeling of that kind? I cut myself off altogether from the things of God. How is God great in you? How is He greater in the greater you? How is He greater than the greater you? In the greater that's greater than you, you and you, which is the next measure above the other measure. And thus God is greater. Therefore, God receives the glory. I hear people warring against the man William Branham. But yet, William Branham had a great measure. I would love to see somebody produce his measure. If you're going to fight against another man, it's like the old Indian said, walk a mile in his moccasins first. Try to understand the man. If the man William Branham had something, what measure did he have? How great was he? Was it Brother Branham or was it God? It was God. Anybody ought to know that. You know that we're the temple of the living God, and God walks in us and talks in us. So then, did Brother Branham do the things he done as a man, or did he do it as God? Brother Branham done great miracles, great things. Was it he or was it God? Paul said, O thou foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus evidently was set forth and crucified. Are ye so foolish, he said, having begun in the spirit, that you are not now made perfect by the flesh? He that worketh miracles among you, Paul said, doeth he it by the law of the works of the flesh, or by the hearing of the Spirit? By faith. Which is it? So then, brethren, remember that God is a spirit. Now, when I was in Oklahoma, I got up and walked out a time or two. I think maybe my brethren over here perceived why I did it. I didn't want to be partakers of the wrong thing, but I didn't want to hurt anybody. I didn't want to cause confusion, because God's not the author of confusion. And then when the brother, the last time that I was there, I got up and walked out. Then when the brother got up to preach the way he did, he said some wonderful things. But he was trying to establish a false doctrine. He was bringing a false doctrine. I got up and walked out on him because he was struggling to establish a false doctrine. I either had to sit there and let the people think that I was in agreement with it and cause little sheep to be lost, or I either had to speak up and say something to the man, which would have caused confusion, or I either had to get out of there and let them know that I wasn't going along with it. Listen, children of God, people are wise. People are cunning. People are smart. People know a lot of things. People know a lot about the Bible. But the thing is, do they really know the truth? The Bible said the truth shall make you free. Knowing about the Bible isn't going to make you free. There's people that can quote passages of the Bible. They can do it by memory. There are people, even Satan himself, quoted the Bible to Jesus. Knowing the Bible doesn't mean that you know righteousness or that you understand righteousness. But being acquainted with the Spirit of God is the answer to it all. Now, the Bible says that we are to have the Spirit of holiness, having our fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, eternal life. Now, I know that all of you just got through with the Christmas dinners and the turkey and everything else, and you might not be as jubilant and as spiritual, but what I'm saying is just as truthful, and you're receiving it real well. But listen, while I sat in the Oklahoma meeting, and the man profoundly tried to prove that there would not be a coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to catch away the saints of God, but that it was a spiritual thing, that he himself did not understand spiritually. I could tell the way he talked. The same man I talked to right here on the campground not too long ago, and he said, God sent me to this place to learn. And numbers of the things that he said during his sermon was things that I talked to him about down here. And the man definitely did not know what he was talking about. And then when he tried to prove that there was no coming, such as Thessalonian had spoke of, I got up and walked out. If he had went over the passage of Scripture, made a statement, passed on, and I'd have saw his error, the Bible said, if you see your brother overtaken in error, restore such one. And that in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest ye be tempted also. That way you save your brother. But when I saw him striving and struggling and going over it and going back to notes and going back to Greek and everything else to try to prove his theory, because that's what he was, I knew that I had to do something, so I left. I want you to know something, as I've told you. There is going to be a coming of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same body that got up out of the ground is coming back in the heavens. It's coming back in the air. And you know the beautiful thing, the whole thing is, what the man was trying to explain in Oklahoma, you people already know. Because we've been through it with you. We've taught you that. We've taught you the spiritual perspective of it and what's to happen. But we've also told you the other part of it, that is to happen also. Whereas the same thing happened out on the West Coast years ago, we run into it. They're out there talking about the manifestations of the sons of God, and they don't even know what they're talking about. You say, how do you know? Because I preached up and down the West Coast, and I know that they don't. I've talked to their greatest leaders. They're mixed up. And even though the men out in Oklahoma, one especially, the elderly gentleman, was as great a Bible scholar perhaps as I'll ever meet, but I saw that he was mixed up, and his son was carrying it on through. Now, I want you to know something. There is only one way. And my brother, that's not a charismatic way. That's not the spirit of error, for God has not given us the spirit of error. It is the spirit of holiness, the spirit of faith, and the spirit of truth. Not the spirit of the world and the spirit of fear. Therefore, we must know what we are saying. It'll be so close, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. I'm glad, Brother Ed, that it's not possible to deceive the elect. The elect is going to understand. They're going to know. But the wicked won't know. For the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. When you see a person that tells you that they believe in speaking in tongues, prophesying, believe in shouting, believe in the Spirit of God, believe in what they term as holiness, and yet they have no fruits unto holiness, you know that that is the wrong thing to mess with. That's the wrong thing. For the Bible said they shall have their fruits unto holiness, and by their fruits ye shall know them. And their fruits unto holiness will bring the end thereof everlasting life. This charismatic order of today is of the devil. Now you hear me. You say, Brother Pike, don't you dare do it. I say it again. The charismatic order of today is of the devil. I spoke of it before it would come and how it would come, and how that the Pope and the Catholic Church would put their blessings on it. They've done exactly that. It's that thing that seemed to be so close. They speak in tongues. They prophesy. You say, but Brother Pike, I know I've been in their midst when the Spirit of God's been there. I know that you've been in the midst when the Spirit of God's been there, because faith can be offered in the time of grace as long as the blood atonement is on the seat. And the Spirit of God will be felt because He pours it out upon all flesh. But my brother, that doesn't mean that the fountain is open in the house of David. Now, when the Spirit of grace is lifted, when the blood is off of the atonement seat, those people are going to be wretched and they're going to go to hell. You're going to have to talk holy, think holy, dress holy, and be holy in everything that you do. And you're going to have to remember that God has one move, not two moves and 10 moves, but one move, and that is the move of the Spirit that has been ever since the day begun with God. And that we are the same body as we was in the beginning, only sifted down, and the children of them that were sifted down to bring that perfect royal seed. Coming down is the family of God. You say, well, Brother Pike, how is it then that all of these great ministries of today have had their own thing and not been overseered and not followed anybody? Look at where they went to. Check every one of them out and see if they didn't go charismatic. See if they didn't wreck up. Every one of them. I can point, name any one of them you want to, and I can tell you and show you where he went charismatic and wrecked up. Why is that? Look at Brother Oral Roberts, one of the greatest of the day. Started out on the leadership of Brother William Branham. I know that he did, because as I've said so many times, I had their picture together. I had the magazine where they were together, where Brother Branham talked to him, where he went to Brother Branham for advice, and where he was led of Brother Branham into the ministry. But then when he pulled away and got big, he forgot about Brother Branham. He forgot about oversight. Forgetting about Brother Branham, that wasn't so important. But forgetting about the oversight. I just read the other day in a little book where Brother Branham was having a meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Brother T.L. Osborne had attended the meeting, and Brother Branham was explaining to the people that Brother Oral Roberts wasn't there because he had hurt his leg. And he said immediately after the the meeting. I'm going over to Oral's place to pray for him because he couldn't get here because on the way he hurt his leg somehow or another. See, they started off as a move of God. They started off as a group that loved God. All of those men like Mars, Cirilla, and different ones all started off the same way. But then when they got big, they got independent, they forgot about the move of God. What has happened to them? Oh, my brother, I don't mean this wrong, but look at what Oral has done. The campus, I was out there the other day, it is literally filled with filth. Nudeness everywhere, promoting the things of this world. I went through the Osmond Foundations, there, the museum. I never seen so much filth and idols that was nude and whatever. Look at Gordon Lindsay, took another man's wife. Another one of the great leaders that come out of the Voice of Healing. I just heard a few days back how that he also left his wife. Are you listening? Took a young woman, went off and left his wife. One of the great men now that you see in the magazines. I could call name after name after name. Look at Sam Todd, the vision I had of Sam Todd down here when he went to Brother Walden, and Brother Walden confirmed it the other day when we was over there. The vision where Sam took a younger woman, left his wife, one of the greatest men that ever lived. I've been under his tent when it would literally be filled up. Or any services, rather. Men like Gail Jackson and others. See, where did these men go to? They all started as a brotherhood. You know, it's like I told the brother today. I said, let me tell you, brother. Remember this. When we get to where we don't want oversight now, we're in trouble. You know what happens? When we get to where we don't want nobody's oversight, it means we don't belong to the tree anymore. We've cut ourselves off from the tree. Isn't that right? And the Bible said when you're cut off from the tree, you think you're doing that, but God's hardening your heart and God's doing that, that you may wither up after a time. You may have plenty of life in you for a while. You may lay on the ground and be green for a few days. But after a while, you and your fruits will start withering up. And I could told the brother today, I said, brother, remember one thing. Everybody has his own ministry. Everybody has their own way. I said, and to look at a tree, I said, every limb is going in a different direction. I said, as far as the eye is concerned, when they look at the limbs, they have no mutual agreement in anything. All of them are going a different way. I said, but you remember one thing, that though they're going all a different way, that is the end they're going to bear the fruits on so the people can get to it. And they're staying clear of each other for that purpose. I said, but the root of it, it's at the other end of the limb when it all comes into the trunk that goes down into the taproot where the taproot goes down into the water tables to get the life to bring it up to nourish those limbs that they might have fruits. I said, that's the answer to the whole thing is the taproot. The Bible said if God had not left us a root, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. The root to the family tree, and that's what we're looking to. And that tree on the outer rims of that taproot has many roots that goes out and strengthens that tree to the right, the left, the north, the south, and whatever, that the contrary winds can't just blow it up. And it them roots hang in there and strengthen that tree any way the wind blows. And that taproot just keeps on feeding. And that sunlight of heaven comes down and warms those little branches. And that heat heats that trunk. And that heat sucks that water up into a vapor. And when that water comes up through that taproot, the little elements in the ground that keeps that tree alive, that composes that tree, mixes in with that water and goes up into that tree, out into the branches, feeds that tree, forms those fruits. The little pores of that tree and leaves open up. And the sun sucks that water right on through to vaporize it as we see into the heavens to condense it with the cold, make it into a cloud, push it over to the sea, melt it back down, put it into the river, back into the water tables to go back and get the elements all over again. That nothing of God's creation be wasted. Whereas in seeing and understanding what God is doing, I spoke of the tree concerning the voice of healing in the Western world, which has to do with America, Brother William Branham, the Eagle Age. How that it's set up in Dallas. I spoke of that. And how that after this great revival had taken place, the Lord showed me that the tree had become infested with parasites. Everything from selling holy water to shoestrings. And God backed away from it, Brother Ed. The sunshine of heaven left it. That the sap of the life might go down and the fall of the year might come upon it. That every parasite might die. Everything might wither up and die. Every limb might die. Everything might die. That every parasite that was feeding would have nothing to live on and die out. And the Lord said to me, when it has gone down, I will move to the eastern part of the world. There I will plant another tree. And this one that comes up won't be to represent the Western world of the feminine part, but it will be to represent the sonship of the Jewish nation that will come in as the head or the Eastern world. And this taproot will go down deep into the earth, and this tree will spring up, and many ministers will spring out from it as the tree of life. Whereas the first had to do with the tree of knowledge, in quotes. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The law of the letter that killeth. A tree that Moses planted that brought death. For by the law comes sin and death. The tree of knowledge. Human reasoning, trying to keep it by our own ability, of our own righteousness. Stumbling at his righteousness and the stumbling stone. But oh, brother, sister, the tree that he planted at Calvary was the tree of life. The one that was full of life, for the Bible said God's trees are full of sap. That tree that came up, that is the faith tree, the spirit tree, that this last tree represents, coming up in the eastern part of the United States. It shows that there is a restoration, that there is a carryover, that something is taking place. Foolish or not, God chooses the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. I watch little things because God reveals himself in simplicity. Why did we get a press here at Christmas time? Tell me this. I asked the question. Many things I'd like to say, but one or two just to get your mind to answer back. That is that you might think, why is it that at Christmas time, the time of Brother William Branham's death that had to do with the voice of healing in the tree that came up in Dallas, where Brother Terrell and all the others came out from. That is, Brother Terrell came through Brother Grant, Brother Grant through the tree. All of them came through the tree. Why is it that we spoke of that going out, and then we called Dallas a few weeks later, and they said, the voice of healing that's been here all these years has gone out. They've changed it. I said, to what? They said, Christ to the nation. Why is it that we spoke of Brother Branham's death, saying that he would die just before Christmas Day, and after all of these years, we said that 80 would be the end gathering, and this would have to do with the resurrection of the tree this year? Why is it? Why is it that at this particular time that Brother Bradley goes out to Tucson, Arizona, the Bible speaks of the war in heaven where Michael and his angels fought against Satan and his angels. You know who Satan's angels are? Those that are born of the tree of knowledge. Intellectual religion, intellectual reasoning. Even God took the Jewish people. People that fasted and prayed. You say, oh, Brother Pike, you wouldn't speak of Christians. I'm not speaking of Christians. I'm showing you how close it is. Even the Jewish people that fasted, that prayed, that had their great feast, God blacked them out of his mind, blanked them out, made them to represent the fallen angels. Check it out in Revelation and see if it's true. Made his own son sin in the sight of the people when he knew no sin, but to be our sin, that he might turn his back on his own son to make him represent the fall of Lucifer. as Christ, the seed of the woman, took the natural man in whose image Jesus was made, picked up the image of the seed of Satan, that is from the tree of knowledge, through the things that happened in the garden, picked that image up that was called a bastard child, took it and nailed it to Calvary. When the prophecy said that the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the seed of the serpent, and John called the people a generation of serpents, and Jesus being made that first man Adam in the natural part, being the head of the serpent as was made sin, was taken and nailed to Calvary, and the thorns bruised the head. For Christ picked up the image of the man. And as the brazen serpent in the wilderness, God took a man-made sin, lifted him up at Calvary, that he might swallow up all the other serpents, or to do away with all sin, that whosoever looked upon the brazen serpent may not have to worry about any kind of after effects. Now, why did God at this time, at the time that the blood is coming off of the mercy seat, that's why we said about these red lights tonight, at the time that the blood is coming off of the mercy seat here at Christmas time, the time of Brother Branham's death, why did Brother Michael go to fight or to war with, in the typical sense, those that were in Tucson, Arizona, the land of dust? For the serpent's meat shall be dust. Why is it that they continually lift up the seed of the serpent? Why have they gotten into intellectual quotes, dead to the spirit, talking about the seed of the serpent all the time? It's because God did to them, just like the Jews, he blinded them to make them represent that thing. And there was war in heaven. And why did Michael take those magazines out there as to the resurrection of the vision of Santa Rosa, where Sam 5 went down in the airplane that we spoke of, down Honduras? Why is it that he took those things out there? Why is it that so many ministers responded, and he came back with about 4 pages of names of different ones that responded from Canada, New York, all over the place, from even overseas in the foreign countries? Why is it that all of a sudden, since the voice of healing was the printing operation that sprang up from Brother Branham's ministry, why is it that out of Dallas comes the printing press, right here at the very time that we spoke of the resurrection and the change of the tree? Why is it that over, as it is over in Kentucky, where they say the biggest shopping center of the world is, why is it that it's just across the river from Jeff? Why is it that all of a sudden, just across the river from here, that they're putting up the biggest shopping center in the world? Everything naturally shows something spiritually. And we who are spiritual know and understand what God is doing, because he said, these hidden things, these secret things, I have told thee from the beginning, that you may know that it was God when they come to pass, and that you might understand that this was the hand of God. Have not we said it from the beginning, brethren? Have it not come to pass exactly step by step as we have pointed it out to you? So then, in the light of so many witnesses, how then can we not understand what God is saying and what God is doing? Most assuredly, it is a marvelous thing that God is doing. Let us therefore be glad. We have a place called the City of Seven Governors, a babe born in Bethlehem, so many things happening. The other night, Scotty, all of a sudden, brings his baby's picture, little Christopher, brings the picture that was put on the calendar in Arizona, the babe born out of the warfare, caught up to the throne, little Bethlehem, all the way from Arizona. Don't you understand what I'm saying? How was it that Brother Branham and A.A. Allen was there at the same time when we say twins are two sons? How was that? How is it that all of this thing has happened? When Brother Terrell said he saw Brother Allen later as a great serpent going through the land. How is all that this, that all of those things have taken place? One playing on the sensation of mankind and human passions, wild dances, and the other moving in the spirit and speaking of the heavenly things. One a bond child and one a free child. One in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. The other a child of heaven. Are we a child of heaven? Are we born to the Spirit? Are we caught up to the throne? We're not in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. But when we were born again, we were caught up to the throne. I'm not in the flesh. He hath chosen me out of the world. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Therefore, if ye be not of this world, then let's not be partakers of this world. Let's understand spiritual things. I wish we had time to talk about it tonight. Really. But I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. That there is something that God is doing. Folks, if it then be God, why do we speak of it as though it was not God? If it then be the hand of God, why do we then try to place God in one place and place this in another place? If you be the body of God, how then can I separate you as the body of Jesus from Christ, who is the God of heaven and earth? Are ye not one? Can you separate a man from his wife when they're no longer one flesh? Paul said a mystery concerning the church, no longer twain that is, but one flesh. Can you separate the Christ from the temple on the inside? Don't the Bible say that the Lord of hosts shall suddenly appear within his temples, whose temples ye are? If ye defile the temple of God, God will destroy it. Why then do we try to do it otherwise? It is because we do not understand. And in so doing, our carnal reasoning is enmity with Christ. And it causes error and causes people that are babes to wreck up and brings the wrath of God on us because we do not understand. Let me say this in closing. Let me tell you, folks, when a man has a church, when a man has a work, whether it be Brother Red's place or be this place, or whether it be Brother Floyd's place down in Pensacola, or whether it be the place out in Tucson or Brother Green's, that man is a householder. That man has children. That man has responsibility to encourage the babes of a man and a woman to leave home is to cause that babe to lose its life. To take a babe is to steal and to come into the eyes of the law as a kidnapper. And to be in serious trouble with God. So then let the babe desire the sincere milk of the word. Let them swing on their dad's arm, for they think he's the strongest man in the world, and they should, because he is their dad. Therefore, let the babes desire the sincere milk of the word and encourage them to stay at home until they're able to go off and marry on their own and get them a place and raise children. And by the way, when you do, which man or woman leaves home, raises children, that becomes a dad or a mother, that doesn't turn around and say, let's go over to the mother that's grand and the dad that's grand. We're just dad and mom, but let's go over to the grand ones. I want you to stand with me. I love you. I want to help you. I want you to help me. Let us all grow together. I love you tonight. I appreciate every one of you. Real hoarse and husky. Makes it kind of hard to preach and really clear myself into things I'm trying to say. Knowing that we all just got through with the Christmas season, that we're not very spiritual in as much as we have enjoyed eating and drinking. Some of us to excess, which is really not good. But as it was in the days of Noah, and we have to stop and consider, folks, while they're playing on the piano, let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus. I want to say again that my heart is warmed at the appearance of these people that have come to be with us. They love the Lord Jesus and they're interested in the Lord. That's why they come so far, to encourage us and enjoy the presence of the Lord with us. I appreciate Brother Bill down from Illinois. Bill's come to be with us. He's given his life to God and he's been with us. He's worked with us down in the multipurpose building, and Bill is here tonight. He's part of the spiritual family now. Work with Bill and encourage him and help him and love him. And I appreciate all that have come to be with us. All of them, the sister from Louisiana, Sister Kathy. Appreciate her so much coming over to be with us. It just means so much. Our brother coming from Moultrie, I appreciate it so much. You mean so much to me. You're very dear to me. I love you very dearly. And if I can do anything at any time to help you, then I will. Because I want to help you. I want to help you. Pray for us. Let's labor together and work together that we can be partakers of the benefit of our God. I appreciate so much the prayer that our brother prayed at the introduction of the service. I heard him as he prayed, Lord, help our pastor. Raise our pastor up and bless our pastor. And I thought, Lord, that's so precious, so wonderful that he would have any thoughts toward God helping me when I need help so much. Pray for me. Paul said, pray for me, that doors will be open to me, that I can reach the people. If you pray for me, then you be partakers with me in my labor for Jesus. If I do anything good, if I win any soul to God, then if you praise me in it to encourage my heart, then you're partakers of my labor and my benefit. For you glorify God within me, in that my heart is surrendered to him, and I desire nothing to my flesh. For my flesh is dead, buried with Christ in baptism. Now I am alive as his body. All glory to his name and his way of life. My heart is fixed in God, that evil tidings don't trouble me, that any praise, honor, or glory that comes to me immediately goes to God. I never accept that, knowing that Christ is the only one that's good. And any time flattery comes, I just sidestep it, going on knowing that a man diggeth the pit for me, in that Satan is doing that. And I continue on to do the will of God, trying to hurt no one. But let's love him tonight, and let's tell him all about our problems. Ask him to help us. Let's just love him for just a few minutes as we pray together. Father of heaven, tonight we're so thankful for your loving treasure. So thankful for your loving, precious will and way. And oh, dear God, forgive our sins. Be with us. Oh, may your heavenly Holy Ghost hallelujah. Father, have your way tonight. May your loving spirit, thy feel now, your anointing, oh Lord, may it go out over the audience. May every person be tenderly caressed and cared for, Jesus. Loved, oh God, lifted up and elevated up above the shadows of this world. Father, define the resting place. Oh, Lord God of heaven, bless my brothers tonight. Bless the ministry tonight. Bless the helps and the governments tonight. Oh, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters in Christ around the world tonight and here at Little Bethlehem. Father, in other places of labor tonight and those that are in error, help them to come to the truth. Oh, dear God, help us to have our flutes unto holiness, the end thereof, everlasting life. Be with us, O Lord, tonight and help us. Heal tonight. Forgive tonight. Save tonight. Deliver tonight, Jesus. Oh, as we feel your deliverance here tonight. Heal and deliver in the lovely name of the Son of God tonight. As we worship with thee, Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.